Welcome back to Edge of Indy. Hey, we have a very, very interesting story, a very focused story regarding autism today with Damar Services. We also have cake and growlers here with Big Lug Canteen. I mean, it's going to be a fantastic show. Stay tuned. And we also have a great giveaway that we're giving on the show today. So you've got to stay tuned. Coming up right now.
Your audio and video source featuring Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. This is Edge of Indy, broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Let's get today's conversation started.
All right. Hey, welcome back to Edge of Indy. If you haven't seen this show live on Facebook or you haven't listened to it on podcast, we welcome you, all of Indianapolis, as well as around the world. We got some around the worlders. We really do. Thank you for joining us. This show's about who and what's happening in Indianapolis, what's moving and shaking, what causes are needing to have a little bit more exposure so we can bring them on board and talk about what's happening in Indianapolis and Indiana, for that matter. Who's moving, who's shaking, who's making Indianapolis a great place to live, work, and visit. That's what Edge of Indy is all about, and we always recommend you choose local and choose local often. So my name is Aaron Sparks. I'm the host of the show, also owner of Site Strategics, a title sponsor for Edge of Indy. And to my right, we have the onboarding and outreach manager of Site Strategics, Brittany Simpson. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
I'm very good. Very good. We also have in studio with us, we have Jenny Peter-Reese, Vice President of Communications at Damar Services. Thanks for joining us today.
I'm so glad to be here.
We're very happy to have you, and we were talking a little bit before show, but I wanted to introduce our audience to Damar. Can you give us kind of a snapshot of Damar Services?
Sure. We're the largest organization in the area that is a source provider for all things autism, intellectual and developmental disabilities. Mm-hmm. So we do from kind of cradle to grave services. So as young as 2 years old, we provide early intervention therapy. Mm-hmm. And then we can stay with an individual through end of life. So we have residential treatment program that you might have driven by on our southwest side by the airport. We have ABA clinics across the city. We have group homes that we service. We have foster care. We have two schools.
Oh, my Lord.
A charter academy that's specifically for individuals with disabilities, and then a private school for kids that don't quite fit into the traditional public school model. So we have a soup to nuts model that we provide services for whoever needs them in that space.
Incredible. Can you speak to kind of the prevalence of autism, not only here in Indianapolis, but also throughout the country, because that's something we were talking about before the show, and I think the numbers need to be out there. People need to know.
Sure. It's really staggering. And it used to be 10 or 15 years ago, it was 1 in 300.
Mm-hmm.
And then the numbers continue to tick down or up, however you see. So right now, the CDC has said that 1 in 42 boys that are born today will have autism. If you add boys and girls together, it's 1 in 68. So it's a big problem. And in fact, somebody said to me at one time, this is about a year ago, that, you know, the incidence is increasing about the rate that polio increased many years ago when we came up with a vaccine for that.
Right.
So there's no vaccine for autism. It's a communication disorder. But that's the incidence. That's the rate that it's growing.
That is it's beyond alarming, because the speed in which this is happening, I mean, literally back in the 70s, if I'm not mistaken, or right before around 78 to 80, we are also talking about numbers in the tens of thousands.
That's correct.
1 in 10,000. And the hockey stick that we are seeing right now, right, it's unbelievable, and we have to know what's happening. So are there some attributions that the medical community is obviously, they're trying to figure this out, but where do they land on what is the causality of this?
Sure. Well, the short answer is no one really knows just yet.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of money is going into research. Very, very much smarter people than me are working to figure that out daily. But here's what we do know. And the physicians, the medical community says it's not related to vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily related to some external factors that you might pinpoint.
Right.
But more, it's related to genetics. So the aging of our genes, so how old we are when we start to have children, because people are getting pregnant later. and what impacts that the assistance that that people might use to get pregnant, and then as well as whatever mom is made up of and dad is made up of and how they combine, that's where they're thinking a mutation might form to cause this communication disorder. So it's really interesting. I think that they will find root cause, right, certainly, but it may be a little bit longer. And right now, we would love the money to really go into treatment of current individuals, because the research has shown if you can get diagnosed early, so if you get diagnosed at 18 months or 2 years, and you get into an early intervention program, mm-hmm, ABA therapy, mm-hmm, then you can have a very full life. You can have communication. You can speak. You can go to college. You can have a wife and kids. You can really kind of reteach the brain in a, mm-hmm, different way.
Can you explain what ABA therapy is for those who aren't familiar with that term?
Sure. So ABA therapy is applied behavior analysis. So it's a behavior therapy that is a one-on-one therapy. And if my child had autism and I chose an ABA clinic, mm-hmm, there are lots in the city, then they would go there like they would go to a daycare and receive one-on-one support all day long. So they would teach how to bathroom skills. They would teach how to eat. They would teach how to communicate, how to speak. And if a child would enter and can't speak, for example, can't say what they want, they would learn through a variety of ways. So the iPad,
translation.
Yeah, the iPad has been amazing for that. So there's some great apps for that. But then they move beyond apps to actual verbal communication, which is always the goal.
Would it be safe to say that the diagnosis of that is incredible, by the way, and I would like to come back around to the education portion of that, because it's from optics you can see that the education environment as much as it's growing, it's still challenged with how to serve the autistic child. But would it be fair to say that the prognosis of autism has also widened from the spectrum side of things? What was known as autism 3 decades ago has a much larger lens, because we're finding kind of the edges of the spectrum disorder.
That's exactly right. So it used to be a diagnosis, and now it's a diagnosis on a spectrum. So doctors are getting a lot better about saying, you know what, you are on the spectrum, mm-hmm, you're here. Whereas before they were like, well, there's something not quite right, but it's probably not autism, because, mm-hmm, autism is this one thing. Well, now they know that it's an entire spectrum. And, mm-hmm, so a lot of the numbers, kind of that 1 in 42 number, the reason that is 1 in 42 is because we've gotten better about diagnosing it.
So, I mean, it's a fluid thing, obviously, but you can't have the same type of sampling numbers there 30 years ago. And obviously, medical community is a constant level of education. So the public education sector and being able to accommodate this, it's still a hockey stick. However we get there, it's still so pervasive that the curriculums have to change, and adaptive behavior for the teachers has to be in place. And they're getting more and more, they have more and more need for instruction of how to recognize that behavior, because it may not actually be even recognized at the parent's standpoint.
Right.
Because, I mean, and just in personal perspective, I've seen with the different involvement I have with kids, there are certain mannerisms that you can start correlating, mm-hmm, that, and again, by no means can I even assess something like that, but you start seeing some repetitive behavior, right? The educators have to be armed with that, right, not only to inform the parents, but also know how to address and how to support the kids in the public school sector, right?
Absolutely. So I think what happens is we're asking our educators more and more to know more and more about certain social issues, right? And behavioral disabilities and diagnoses. And they're coming on board. Is it yearly? I'm trying to think. Do we do an in-service yearly? It seems like we connect with schools on a regular basis and, mm-hmm, provide training to them. These are the things to look for.
Yep.
And if you see these things, you know, these are the steps that you take. A lot of times, though, and it's really refreshing, parents are noticing much earlier. So the more that we can get out the message that, you know, autism isn't something to be ashamed of. It's, right, something to get a diagnosis for and then start a behavior treatment plan. Mm-hmm. That has really helped over the last few years because we've seen our requests to DAMR have certainly come in at a lower rate from schools going, there's this kid and you guys need to look at him. So that's really great news.
That's a good metric right there.
It's a good metric. But, you know, it's anecdotal. The thing that I would say about our schools is, you know, the schools are getting better about saying, let's find a plan for this kid. Mm-hmm. And if this kid doesn't and cannot perform here, yep. then let's try to find an alternate path. Unfortunately for us, we have an amazing charter school that is it is for kids with disabilities, and we have a waiting list that's as long as the number of kids that are in our school. So we know that there are education needs that aren't being met.
Right.
But we hope that'll change.
Hmm. So much I want to ask you,
yeah.
but
but you got to get to cake and booze, right?
No.
This is report right now.
Yeah. You've got a project called Project Lifesaver. Can you tell us about that? Can I unpack that and how things are affecting how you're affecting yeah. Indianapolis community?
Yeah. So I've kind of set the tone for what autism is in our community.
Mm-hmm.
30% of any given population is going to love somebody that has autism. So it's a big group of us, right? And here's what happens. So if somebody has more severe on the spectrum, then they're probably in a situation where they need a full-time caregiver. And I don't know about you. You know, my husband and I have four kids, and we both need to work outside the home,
yep.
right? So if one of us was taken out of the workforce in order to care for a child, then we're going to have a financial impact from that. And
Absolutely.
And everything is going to hurt beyond that, right? So what we're doing is a program called Indie Bands Together, and that's really born out of a financial need that parents have, parents of kids with autism. So mm-hmm. what happened was this summer, a sweet boy named Shalom, who was visiting our city, drowned in one of our retention ponds in Brownsburg. He was a kiddo with autism. He was nonverbal, and he got out of his mother's sight for 5 seconds and was gone. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, first responders searched for him for over 24 hours, and they eventually found him dead in a retention pond. And that just wrecked us as an organization who has the great privilege of dealing with these kids every day. So we said, we have to do something, and what can we do? So we reached out to the Decatur Township Fire Department. And in fact, behind you, I don't know if people can see it, but mm-hmm. One of the ladies on the right-hand side there, Billy, she came out and talked to us about a program that they already have in place called Project Lifesaver. Project Lifesaver is a radio frequency bracelet that can be put on kids who have a tendency to wander. Mm-hmm. And they cost about $350, and not every parent can afford one of those. But when an emergency happens and they have a bracelet, call 911. Oh, he's in the system. It takes about 27 minutes to find as opposed to 24 hours. That's the difference.
That is fantastic.
So it's just a problem that technology can solve. And unfortunately, money needs to be the other solution to buy that technology. So we got involved with the first responders, our Project Lifesaver coordinators in the state. They said, great. It's our 50th year at DAMR. So we said, let's raise $50,000 and we'll give it all back to the community. We're not keeping any of it. And we just want to buy bracelets and get them on the wrists of kids that really need them mm-hmm. and their parents can't afford them. So that's what it's about. We told the Colts. The Colts said, great, we'll give you a spokesperson. So that's Deshaun Bond, and mm-hmm. he's a local guy from Warren Central. He's a great kid. I guess he's not a kid. He's younger than me, but I'm 40. So
yeah,
he's 23. What are you going to do? So he's a great guy, and he stepped up and said, I would absolutely love to be a mouthpiece for this. And it's going well so far, but we certainly, you know, one of the reasons I'm here is we haven't reached our goal yet. We're about 30% there, and we need to raise some more money.
Oh, you're 30% there. Oh, that's something that we can certainly champion, and we would want to be able to help you in a pursuit to those goals. So we certainly want to talk to you after the show of how we can help you. Your social media is extraordinary, and Brittany,
That's my universe. Social media thing. So I know you have several campaigns going. The hashtag Indie Bands Together. Mm-hmm. And when I got on to see how active that is, I mean, it's all over the place. Mm-hmm. So can you speak to kind of how that's taking off, how you feel about getting people engaged on social media and whether you're getting that response that you're looking for?
You know, it's interesting. I was having this conversation yesterday and we've had so many likes and shares and, mm-hmm. you know, you get likes and shares and you get thoughts and prayers. Right. And now I've jokingly said, and now we need cash in hand. So we're kind of at the likes and shares and thoughts and prayers place, which is a really great place.
Sure.
But we really need to convert that over to action because, you know, it's very similar in tone to me too. I worked downtown at the time when they did Indie Welcomes All. You know, that was a big movement in the city. And I want the city to embrace this movement because we owe it to these families. These families live here. They pay taxes here. They need a little bit of help. Yeah. You know, it's not thousands of dollars. It's $350 per family that could allow a parent to sleep at night. It just makes me go, oh, I wish I could buy a bracelet for everybody. And unfortunately, I can't. So we're trying to raise $50,000 and in order that we can.
I mean, to save a life for as little as $350, why would
it? No, break it down. It's less than a dollar a day, right? Yeah. And I don't mean to sound like a bloody telethon, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
Less than a dollar a day for the year, mm-hmm. and you can help this community and your own community.
Well, here's the even better part is that the Damar Foundation, who really believes in this program, will match dollar for dollar. So they've said,
oh, wow.
Jenny, go out and see what you can get, and we will dollar for dollar match you. And so really, you can give $150 or $175, buy a bracelet, because the foundation's going to match
two
that.
Bracelets for one.
Yeah, two for one. Or go ahead and spend the $350, and then we'll match the $350.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, let's not go lower. Let's go higher.
All the bracelets.
Well, I mean, we certainly want to give a shout-out to everyone who's watching this show and listening to the podcast to share this show and also ask some questions during the live cast of Jenny, because these are important topics to understand, but also get into the community, is that it needs to be recognized of how pervasive this is and how there are so many needs for, I mean, not only the child, but the parents. And on top of that, it's tough. We have an access over at the Indian Creek Church, where we have a lot of entire special needs branch of the church, right? And there is a lot of beautiful people helping in that space, but you need to be able to see a way to help in the training and education standpoint. There needs to be a kind of a community support to be able to help children that are suffering from this malady. It's not just the child that's being affected. There's so much around the family and the siblings as well that are needing to be supported. So,
absolutely.
I mean,
and the interesting thing really is the more families that I've met and the more moms and dads I've talked to, they've said, you know, we don't want your shame, we don't want your pity,
we just want
your understanding that if there's a behavior in a situation, give us some space to manage that as a family and remove your judgment from the situation.
Right.
So that's so much of what we do. And we offer at Damar, you know, I would encourage anybody to get on our website. It's damar.org. And there's lots of tips and tricks and tools. And we offer a training. For,
it's a very resource-rich website, for sure.
A training even for, like, your church. Mm-hmm. So your church leaders could come to us and say, you know, we have this population. We really want to reach out. And, in fact, we're doing some education this next month with the Children's Museum of Indianapolis and with the librarians in the city. And that's exciting for us because those are the places where kids are.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't it be great if everybody that worked there knew how to identify with one of those kids?
Absolutely. So from a fundraising standpoint, we certainly want to help out. And to our viewers right now, as well as to our listeners, I want to put a challenge out. If you text the word Indy, INDY, to the number 444-999, you can donate right now. And we're certainly going to be championing that throughout the rest of the week, is to be able to lift up and talk about what it means to be a solution. And I love the concept of, you know, there's likes and shares, there's hopes and prayers, but commit. I mean, literally, we're talking to all of Indianapolis, and we need to see that type of commitment to bring that type of donation to your program. There should be no reason why Indianapolis cannot take care of the remaining 70% in a very short time period. I mean, there's a lot of caring organizations here in Indy. There's a lot of organizations that want to be able to give back. This is a very easy way to give back. And on top of that, if you're matching funds, I mean, there's literally no excuse.
No, and we would love to put you in touch with other organizations we've had on this show that
absolutely
will be more than happy
that would
to
be
help.
Great.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, this is one time, and I give to a lot of things, which I'm sure you both do too. This is one time where you can buy a thing and help somebody.
It's like, a tangible thing.
When do you get
yeah.
to buy a thing
right.
when you're donating money? And technology has solved this
yep.
problem. And we've got a lot of great tech companies in the city, so hopefully somebody will listen and send us a check. We
yeah.
love it.
Yeah,
they can also donate daymar.org/indiebandstogether, too, if they want to donate online. Is that
yep.
right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Good.
So lift up this show. And for all the viewers, we've got a good number of influencers and individuals that are watching the stream right now. Get the word out. Watch this stream. We're going to plug this donation throughout the entire show. Text to the number 444-999, the word Indy, and you can make a donation right there. It is less than a dollar a day to be able to put one of these bracelets on one of these children and be able to save a life. I mean, it's an easy transaction, and it's absolutely essential to be able to get this moving through the entire system for the city and the state. Any final thoughts in this space regarding whether parents or educators or just understanding of autism at large?
Yeah, I think my final thought would be if you know a family that has a child with autism or an adult with autism, just continue to reach out to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those disabilities that creates a lot of isolation,
mm-hmm.
and the families don't deserve that. So we certainly want to champion that that we love those families, and we are privileged to serve them. And if you want to meet some of them, come out to Daymar because we are filled with amazing people out there, and they want to make a difference too. So these aren't our castaways in society. They're
no.
really the most special people that I know.
And with the numbers that we're talking about, everybody has knowledge of somebody in their immediacy that has autism or autism spectrum disorder.
Absolutely.
So yep. this is right in front of us. This is not an abstract concept. These are people that are in our lives regularly. You've got to show love, and that's just. Now I'm just getting pissed.
I know. So band together, damn it, and let's do this thing.
Dollars and cents, dollars and cents.
Yeah, absolutely. Cash in hand is what we're going for Daymar services. So hashtag IndieBandsTogether. Jump into the hashtag. Go to the number 444-999. Tweet the word or text the word Indy, and you can start the donation process right now. How do they reach you?
Yeah, so the best way to reach me is at daymar.org, daymar.org.
Excellent. You can also, on Twitter, is Daymar Services, on Facebook, Daymar Services, and you can search for Daymar Services in LinkedIn. We wish you all the best, and we are certainly going to lift you up post-show. This is something that makes so much sense, and, I mean, you almost, like I said, I'm getting heated.
I know.
It's a reality that we have to embrace. And enough of the likes and shares, everybody. I mean,
dollars and cents.
Absolutely. All right.
Thank you for what you do.
Absolutely.
Keep up the good work.
Listen, everybody that I work with does the hard work. I just get to be the mouthpiece. So I want to thank them. We have 1,000 direct support professionals that work at Daymar to serve our 1,500 clients every day.
That is amazing.
And they do amazing work. So thanks to you guys for being back there while I'm here.
I'll get you some cake, too.
I will eat your cake. It's fine.
That's the cost of being the mouthpiece. All right. Well, thank you so much, Jenny. We'll certainly put all the links in the show notes, and we'll do everything that we can possibly can on the social side to give attention to this. You're doing a fantastic job, and Daymar, 50 years in existence, is fantastic.
We feel good about it. Thank
Absolutely.
You so much.
You're more than welcome. Okay. for someone that needs no introduction, but I'm going to warn you, I think he's a little bit edgy today. We're going to be talking to Paul Poteet right after this.
Real life. Real stories. Let's see what's trending in Indianapolis. This is Paul Poteet on The Edge.
Well, we're back with Paul. And, you know, I got to say, Paul, I think we're going to redo that intro because it really doesn't demonstrate how much on The Edge Paul is. And, I mean, we've experienced this before, but literally right before we went on camera, right, we saw a different side of you, didn't we?
Oh, well, yeah, people think, oh, I've seen you on TV maybe, you know, since the 80s, and they think they know me, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get that Halloween kind of, red rum.
Wow.
Somehow my scary voice suddenly became Dino on the Flintstone.
Oh my Lord. Okay. So
what is happening though?
This is the Halloween edition of Paul Poteet here.
I only had Sammy Terry's old prop coffin that we used to have in the 80s at Channel 4 in the corner of the studio. Really scared you.
Where'd that go?
Well, actually, his son, yep, who occasionally still does the character of Bob Carter's son, who occasionally still does the Sammy Terry character, actually has it in a room of his house.
Very cool. Very cool.
Just, you know, when guests come over and want to sleep over.
Why not?
This is the only one we still have open.
Here's a spare bed.
Yeah. Do you mind taking the coffin for the night?
I think we need to go over there in the middle of the night and grab that thing there.
Now that would be living on the edge. I'm not sure that I would get in there for a night's sleep. Would you?
Oh, heck yeah. Cemetery's coffin. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, maybe, you know, touch it for good luck and whatever and for nostalgia. But Brittany, are you ready to climb into that thing for a good night's sleep?
I would for money.
Well played.
Well, thank you for boiling down showbiz for all of us.
Ooh,
watching
there
the,
it is. Ooh,
watching
my
the
gosh.
Presentation today. Well, that's the scary segment. Now the edgy part of the segment. Are you ready for
I'm
some
ready
wacky
for
stories
it.
That
Hit
we
me.
Found? It starts out as an ordinary story. You know, this is a Syracuse, New York garbage truck driver, and he's pulling up to, you know, some, you know, like dumpsters in mm-hmm. front of a gas station. I guess he's going to, you know, do what garbage truck drivers do.
Do his thing.
He has to go to the restroom. So he's going to use the gas station.
He's got to dump his own garbage.
He's got
exactly.
Poop jokes.
All kinds of dump truck stuff going on here.
Okay.
So he gets out to use the bathroom. Truck, unfortunately, rolls away. Truck crosses the street. Why did the truck cross the street? Because nothing was stopping it.
Oh, man.
Until a brick building stopped it that had a business inside.
Yeah.
Would you like to know the name of the business that got hit by a garbage truck?
Tell me.
A Beautiful Mess.
Oh, my Lord. Okay.
It's an art, gift, and oddities shop. And what's more odd than having a garbage truck, you know, planted in your...
Actually, yeah, you almost want to keep it there because it's an oddity.
And that's good branding. People see a beautiful mess, and then they see a beautiful mess.
It's art in its own, right?
It's performance art.
It's an art installation, really, is what that is, for sure.
Jerry Flack had just opened the store in June of this year. Said it was a dream of mine come true, what I've been living for and hoping for my whole life.
Wow.
Well, it's closed for the moment, but it says in the story she's working to contact the rubbish removal company for damages, which I'm sure, I guess there were witnesses to the whole thing. So I'm sure the beautiful mess will now be in a courtroom or.
Yeah, you better believe it.
Yeah, amongst a couple of insurance companies and attorneys. But
Did the truck company say anything or are they.
No, I don't think they. Yeah, they. Yeah, there's no comment, as you might imagine.
No.
At this point. So I don't know if it's a mechanic. I'm sure they'll try to figure out if it was a mechanical thing or he didn't set the parking brake or whatever.
But that's what I'm thinking.
Be careful what you name your business, okay? Yours is well named. Edge of Indy is the name of our show. So
thank you.
We live up to our branding and is not usually a mess.
Usually. What was that look?
Just a look. It wasn't my evil look. Did I turn red on you? No, it was just a look. Here is a story. Now, we all know, speaking of branding, the Goodwill people have done a great job in Central Indiana with those commercials with a friendly, you know, Goodwill guy.
Yep.
Salvation Army has their thrift shops too. Well, this is a Salvation Army thrift shop in New Hampshire that received an urn.
No.
Not an empty one.
No.
Oh, gross.
Apparently filled with cremated remains. The name is on the urn, and the store is holding on to it because they're trying to get it back to the deceased relatives. My question is, what if they were the ones
who gave it
dropped off the urn?
Oh, my Lord.
Return, now, you might
return to sender.
Well, you know, I can't remember if we talked about this or if I talked about it on the radio or some other place, but like recently in the last few years, it's 50-50 now, people being buried versus at least around here being
right.
cremated
right.
in Indiana. So this could come up, I suppose, more and more. Police say that the urn and the ashes are considered private property and whoever owns them can do whatever they want to with them.
Oh, my gosh.
So if you know, you think you better know your relatives before you make those arrangements, so that because they could get the Bissell out, you know, a week after you're gone, and just spread you on the living room carpet like that, you know.
little dark.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a crime. They also said it's not a crime to donate an urn and ashes, but they called it, quote, odd, the police, and a bit of an understatement there. So.
It's an oddity. Should it go in the store? The beautiful mess?
Ding. Wow. Nice callback. Good
I'm
linkage
here.
There.
I'm here.
You're here? Okay.
I'm here.
Wow.
Good linkage. That's
like
between
super slow mo, though. That means kind of like you kind of walk this with a canter.
Pacific Central or Pacific Standard.
She just kind of, but she kind of pounced. You know, she waited. Yep. She had that good, you know, tied all together moment, and then she just jumped in with it. That's good. I admire that.
I think she moseyed into
it. It was strategic.
She sauntered. She's, you know, really what you did was sachet right into it.
Thank you.
Wow.
Somewhere in the office here, I have a book of the sources, you know.
So yeah, we got to play a game now. How many times can we actually have sachet referenced on the edge?
I'll make a mental note.
All right, what you got?
Sachet to story number three.
Nah, see, that's two. All right, thanks.
this has to do with the delivery from Amazon. How often do you use Amazon? I mean, we use it all the time, right?
Yep.
Plenty. Don't tell my husband.
Oh, let's just sit back and explore that for a moment now. Let's sachet over to your credit card receipts.
Sachet out of my home.
She never gets anything delivered here at all.
Have you ever ordered marijuana from Amazon?
I have not.
Have you now, or have you ever been a member of the Marijuana Club?
I have not.
Well, there is a couple, and oddly enough, it's a couple out of Florida.
Oh, jeez, Florida, come now.
Who got a shock when opening a package from Amazon in the mail and found not only did it contain the storage totes that they ordered, there was also some marijuana stored. They didn't just get the 27-gallon storage totes. They got 65 pounds of weed.
Holy crap.
They said something, they knew something didn't feel right when it arrived.
When it was 65 pounds.
Well, it said, they said it was extremely heavy, heavier than you would think from ordering 4 empty bins. And so now they opened the box. They said they were hit with a strong odor.
Wow.
And because fish wasn't in concert nearby, they immediately were suspicious. And under layers of packaging, they found 65 pounds of marijuana. They called the Orlando cops right away, which I suppose would be a good thing to do. The officer got there and was in disbelief. Police took the drugs, launched an investigation. They were afraid that their home would be broken into. And so she said they didn't sleep for a few days. And then they went back and forth with Amazon. And then it says they finally got an email with a $150 gift card. And the message, I am unable to do anything else at this time. So I don't know what that means from Amazon. But...
All I got to say, oh, dude, that's a prime tote.
No, you want Amazon Prime, not Amazon Primo.
Oh, boys.
It's only one letter, but it makes a huge difference. Makes a huge difference in what you're going to be getting.
Oh, my gosh.
From Amazon.
Wow. Oh, my Lord.
I have nothing.
I'm trying to find it on Amazon right now. I just can't find that particular product. We'll have it delivered here, but I just can't find it.
Yeah, just go ahead and leave it at the door. And I was just reading a little bit ago, they have some new, I don't know if it was this country or in certain parts of the country, where they want to have some service where, is it Amazon is going to...
The key? Yeah, the key.
Get out of my home.
Yeah, literally, Amazon delivery, if you get an Amazon key, you'll allow them to drop it off in your house.
Yeah, just leave the heroin in the crawl space. I mean, you can see that there are some occasional hiccups in, you know, the delivery ecosystem. And so, yeah, to have them just carte blanche into your house. I have family members, you know, my son, sometimes I didn't want him to have a key when they were teenagers, but you know, much less Amazon. So, anyway, those are some of the stories that we found in the scary world on the edge.
That is beautiful.
He had to work his way into that one.
Wow. That is
I will have nightmares tonight.
All right. So how's our Halloween look?
We got to do the weather part of this.
You are committing to the role, man. You are committing to the role.
Yeah, I was so busy being Sammy Terry, I forgot to be Paul Scary Weather. It is certainly going to feel much more Halloween-like, much more fall-like around here. We've had part one of that with a big cold front on Monday coming through. And since then, it's just been cool, and it will stay that way, it looks like. No more. It was almost 80 degrees last Sunday. No more of that in our seven-day forecast. Mm. There could be an isolated shower around, even as we live stream this Wednesday afternoon. Tomorrow is probably the nicest day of the week, like upper 50s, sunshine, and then some showers Friday afternoon, maybe into Saturday morning, with another system that puts us right back into the 40s again Saturday and Sunday. And if you look real close, those are little snowflake.
No.
There it
on
is.
The Sunday afternoon icon there. We could have a few rain or snow showers flowing around. And no accumulation. No school announcements. Mm. And then we bounce back next week, but it's still just in the 50s at best. So now we're below normal. We've been averaging above normal since about the start of September. So we're about to pay big time here. It looks like November overall could be pretty cold.
Now, Brittany, I mean, this is boot weather, right?
It is, but...
But you don't want to see the snow.
No.
Well, you'll just see it fly. I mean, you'll have to look real close to see it if we see it on Sunday. Oh. It's the stuff that isn't hard to see is hard to miss. That's the kind of snow that I don't like.
Yeah.
Once you see it piling up, you know, like drifting next to your window, that's the kind of snow that's the worst.
Nope. Check, please, on that one.
Can you predict any accumulation yet or no?
No, and if you can, don't tell me. I can predict that we won't have any accumulation on Sunday. But
not Sunday. No, okay.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
I'll call Chris right and see how many snows he's got going for the season and pass that on to you in our next segment.
We would greatly appreciate it.
But no, there's a little hints of fall, but nothing that scary.
No, okay. Last weekend was beautiful. It was like the perfect.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And you knew there were so many people like out when I was out. You could just feel everyone wanting to, you know, just absorb everything before, because you just had that feeling that,
the class is in.
So
we're not going to have any bounce back to those temperatures here in the future.
It didn't look like we get back. You know, we usually have our little Indian summer where once we've officially had a killing, you know, freeze and it's been in the upper 20s, whatever. I think it's 70 degrees. You know, where you get that where that's officially, you know, entered into. Hopefully, we'll get that. You know, we usually squeeze out some kind of a day in November, where it gets back up to around 70. Boy, I hope so.
Far and few between. Well, thank you so much, Paul, and we certainly want to make sure.
And God bless you, Brittany.
Thank you. You as well, Paul. I'm allergic to what you just told me, I'm afraid.
I don't blame you at all, yeah.
So if you want to see, for our listeners and watchers, if you want to see Paul in his native element, not in the, in the, into the, in, not the, the red Paul,
although, not to be confused with the Red Bull.
Exactly.
I am at paulpoteet.com. paulpoteet.com.
Wow. And with that, we'll say adieu.
Yep. Scene.
This is Edge of Indy, showcasing Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. Broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Now, let's get back to today's topic.
Well, welcome back to Edge of Indy. Hey, it's a fantastic time when we can have beer in the studio, but beer and cake? Say it ain't so. We actually have with us Eddie Somm, owner of Big Lug Canteen. Sir, how are we doing?
I am doing fantastic.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You brought us beer and cake.
I did.
And beer cake.
I brought you beer cake.
We also have our own Nate Torvik.
Wow.
Lord almighty. Well, I mean, well, Brittany's usually right
I know.
There.
I grew 3, 7, 12 inches.
He is our chief evangelist over at Site Strategics. Gentlemen, you jumped in and you brought the brew. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. And you also, we want to make our viewers aware of a giveaway, right?
Yeah, I brought a couple gift cards, two $30 gift cards. They work at any of our restaurants. So Big Lug, Somm's. You can go to anywhere and spend that cash. So
there are only a couple of Somm's around town. So
yeah, there's only a few. We haven't opened too many yet. Yeah.
So we're literally giving our viewers free beer.
Free beer or food.
Or food.
Yeah, it depends on what you're into.
All right, I'm going to ask a question right now.
Yep.
Just so I can.
Uh-oh.
And go.
Oh no, I'm going to type it so I can
Lord
win a card.
Almighty.
Oh man, what a letdown.
Okay, so we've got some You're going to type so you can actually ask it on the air?
Yeah, so I can type it out loud and then I can read it like it was from a listener, right? And I'm just not going to say who it is.
Do you know how this show actually works out?
No.
Okay. while he's typing, give us your backstory of how you got to be into Big Lug.
Oh, backstory. So, I grew up in the restaurant industry, right? My dad, Ed Somm, opened up Somm's in 1986. Mm-hmm. So I was born in 1987. So from that point on, it was kind of you're in restaurants. From there, I went to Purdue University and studied HTM, Hospitality Tourism Management. Worked at a few different places, kind of found like not only did I grow up in the industry, but I was into it.
Cool.
So from there, I bought Somm's place when I graduated. Took a loan out. I was scared to death. Luckily, it worked out better than I thought it would. So from there, I got into craft beer. Cooked a lot of food, hosted a lot of parties, did the whole thing. And beer seemed like something. I loved it. I loved the community behind it. Big Lug was spawned from there.
I dig it. I dig it. Okay, Nate, you evidently have a there's a question on the live cast feed.
There is one. So, you know, why the coffee cake? Sorry, the beer cake. It's not coffee cake in this environment.
No.
It is a beer cake.
No, for sales purposes, it is coffee cake.
It is coffee
but
cake.
But today,
yes.
Tis beer cake.
Yeah. Yes. So talk about the coffee cake a little bit. You know, I've gone to Somm's. Mm-hmm. For a long time, and you know, you get a salad at Somm's, you can have a piece of coffee cake, just in case you're curious. So, when you sell about 20,000 coffee cakes per year,
in
give
that
or
realm.
Take.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about the coffee cake phenomenon.
It's one of the first things that everyone knows about our company.
Right.
I've told people that, yeah, you know, they say sugar cream pie is the Indiana food dessert. I would argue that coffee cake is right there with it.
Hmm.
And the coffee cake was not meant to be where it is today. We found a recipe that we really liked. My aunt and my dad came up with a really nice product, and it just took off, man. I can't even describe it to people. It's not like we're putting something crazy in there. It's a pound cake. There's pecans. They're candied powdered sugar. But you know, there's nothing special. But if
cocaine,
there's cocaine.
The other,
there's cocaine. PC. That's the asterisk.
It's powdered.
A little bit ecstasy.
It's coffee
that's
cake
what's in
with
the
an
powder.
Asterisk.
That's exactly right.
And you're selling 20 of them a week.
Yeah,
20,000 a week.
Exactly. Yeah. So no, it's just one of those things that if you're from Indianapolis, more than likely you've probably have heard of the Somm's coffee cake, or you've had it somewhere, and then you're like, I've had this before, mm-hmm. right? And so we've just kind of made a name for it, and we like to take it to places. We like to give it with salads. We like to really let people know that we just think it's a fun little thing. Everyone likes, you know, dessert, sweet foods. I say everyone, but some crazy people don't, and that just honestly, it's like a serial killer.
Let's talk about that, Aaron.
Yeah,
I mean, somebody here sweet stuff. Might have a specific diet.
I'm anti sweet stuff just because I've enjoyed it for such a long.
And that's okay. I understand, like, okay, if you're gluten-free, you're not going to sit here and pound this cake, right? But that's a pun.
I caught you. You're
welcome. Yep. I just need to point that out for all my listeners.
All of my listeners.
But, you know, like, there's people out there who are like, oh, I just don't like sweet things. Yeah, oh, get out of here. You don't like sweet things. You might not eat them, but, like, come on.
They don't have souls if they don't like
them. I agree. So coffee cake to us is, we make a lot of different food, but it's one of those things that it brings people together. And I think more than anything, that's kind of what our company has become about and want to help Indianapolis in that way, is to bring people together and create places that have that at the center of what we do. So coffee cake's right there.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very happy that we didn't see you going into the fruit cake area because that's scary. I mean, that whole area is just...
It's a little iffy. And we've made a beer called fruit cake where we kind of put nuts in there. We had different types of dried fruit, different malts, different hops, and we wanted that kind of like. And it turned out pretty good, but also it turned out very much like a fruitcake, where it's like, I don't know if I want.
Right. This is a one-time thing. Yeah, we'll do it once. And it was great. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, can you share your experience about being a local business owner here in Indianapolis? What has your journey been like?
You know, I come from a little bit different background than most people.
Yeah, you do.
Mine isn't necessarily as big of a risk, I guess you could say. So I always feel privileged in that way, and I try to pay that forward, helping other people, always trying to be open and honest with answers that I give to anything, and even things like this. But, you know, as far as the local businessman, how it's gone from there, you know, it's a nice community around here. People who want to help you, they want to talk to you, they want to see Indianapolis improve. And that to me is something that I really enjoy about this area and working in Indianapolis is, you know, everyone's competitive. Everyone wants to make money. I'm not in here to tell people to send me their customers, but you definitely see people who want to see Indianapolis give better options for the people who live here, give, you know, whether that's healthier or more vibrant or more, localized, better for the economy.
Right.
It's, you know, in that way, I think that everyone here is pretty open. So me growing up in this atmosphere, yeah, I had some privileges, but I've definitely seen a lot of people come on the scene and worked with them and tried to help them and also accept help. So I've enjoyed it. I've never really had a bad experience, honestly. I mean, you know, I think if anything, maybe that's because I'm the guy who provides the bad experience. I don't know.
Maybe I'm
the weird guy in the room, right?
Well, I mean, you bring beer and cake. I mean, you're bound to win people over, right?
Yeah.
Only a couple, though.
Maybe one or two.
You know, so you and so Big Lug and Somm's Ale House right next door are both in Nora area, right across from North Central High School.
Yep.
And but it goes beyond that for you. So, you know, right there on the Monon. So people that are walking or biking or jogging or I don't know, dragging themselves down the Monon so they can get coffee cake, whatever that looks like. Yeah. People still do that. Prancer sizing is what I was going to go with, but so we'll stick there. So,
oh man, that's a visual.
But you and your business are striving to help create a better environment and a better atmosphere, especially in the Monon area.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what you're doing to try and create more of a community and more of like a neighborhood look and feel over there in that area and beyond.
Yeah,
that.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, at the heart of what we do is we make food and we sell beer. You know, that's what we do. But I think the bigger picture and things that I'm hoping more people who open up restaurants or breweries like we have here, that this is what they have at the heart, which is improve your community. Help people out, you know, beautify things, give people something to do. Yeah, I know people got to eat. I know people got to drink beer. My goal is to make it taste good and look good and be something you want to spend your money on. But, you know, with the Big Lug theme, it was, yeah, this is something we do, but so do a lot of other people. But not a lot of other people are having beautiful beer gardens outside, mm-hmm. planting their own hops that they're going to use in their beer, giving people a place where they can pull right off the Monon and park their bike. I use a lot of local artists to do all of our artwork inside. We try to do it all on our own. So one, it's a very unique experience that you want to introduce your friends and family to. But then two, it's also a really just unique place that the Monon didn't have before. Was an old abandoned building with dumpsters and fryers. And it's like, you know, if it takes a little bit of money for me to beautify that, I feel like in the long run, that's going to win people over way more than a really good poutine, which, hey, man, that's good too. But,
he's throwing down the words.
Oh, let's not forget. Yeah, they've got killer poutine.
And don't get me wrong, that's the goal. I mean, that's what we do to make money. But yeah, to win people over, I think, is look, here's something fun to do. Here's something fun that it's not a chain. You know, your money is going to go right back in towards trying to improve this area. Hey, man, the more money you spend at our place, we want you to know that we're going to spend more money on making this, continuing to make this a place where it's going to be fun and vibrant, and you can bring your families and friends. And so that's the main goal. I think we've really decided that community building needs to be at the center of what we're trying to do. We're local guys. We're completely family owned, and that I feel like is understated. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, we live here. We want it to be fun to go to. So, I think that, you know, moving forward, everything we do is going to have that at the center. And, Big Lug's done a pretty good job so far. We'll keep doing it, but, you know, there's improvements to be made. But so far, so good.
Speaking of center, you're downtown. Uh-huh. As well, so tell us about the new tap room.
Sure, yeah. So Sam's Tavern, I just came from there. I had to wash dishes today, so every cook was upset because it was extremely slow. I'm a good dishwasher. I'm a very methodical dishwasher.
He's a man of many talents, Eddie. Yes, Sam. He can cook, he can brew beer, he can wash dishes.
I can wash dishes can with the best thing. Of them. Yeah, yeah. So we owned a restaurant there before. It was called Sam's Tavern, and I recently purchased it, and my dad and I are going to run it now. And we basically did it so we can sell growlers out of there now, potentially build a little brewery there as well. Cool. This hasn't happened yet. But we're going to kind of streamline it. Be a little bit of Big Lug, be a little bit of pizza there that we've done. Sam's Ale House Monon does it. And honestly, just try to make it like the Big Lug way, really unique. In the same vein we do right now, which is, you know, improve, give the cultural trail something new on that side, give the students at IUPUI somewhere fun and local to go to that's affordable, and also new and different, something they can kind of call their own. So we felt like we were in a better position to do that at Big Lug, mm-hmm. so we decided to go that route, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So far, all the improvements have been well received by customers and employees, which is always the employees are the hardest ones to win over, so I'm glad they're into it. So it's we'll see if I have to keep washing dishes or I can start doing other things. But
I mean, there are worse things to do than washing. Yeah. That's not true. I couldn't even finish that sentence.
No, it's not. Yeah, I mean, it's not great. If you work at a restaurant and you don't thank your dishwasher every day, mm-hmm. you're an idiot. Yeah. I tell my staff that. I'm like, man, you guys, whew, like go wash dishes one day, just one day.
Yep.
And no longer will you ever complain about anything. Like, you won't complain about anything.
It gives you perspective.
It's the worst.
Right.
But some dudes love it because it's like you just got to grunt it out. You just got to get it done.
Just go do your thing.
Yeah.
So switching gears a little bit. So as the restaurant industry, and we see a bunch of new restaurants popping up every year in Indy, mm-hmm. you know, see new ones open up, old ones close down or new ones close down.
Nature of the beast, right?
Yeah, it just kind of happens a lot. But the restaurant
faster
industry.
Faster and faster nowadays.
In Indy is growing and thriving a little bit. We're getting, you know, Aaron's favorite. We're getting like a dozen new steakhouses every other day.
Yeah.
And how are restaurants keeping up with the demand for employees mm-hmm. In this space or mm-hmm. or are they?
Yeah. It's an untalked about problem, right? I think that, you know, when you look at unemployment, it always feels like it's an amazing thing when the number goes down, and it is. I mean, you want everyone to have jobs and be successful, livable wages, you know, the freedom to do the things that they would like to do, the financial ways to get there. But at the same time, businesses have to be aware of the problem that exists right now. And the problem that exists is that, man, there's just no one to hire, right? Hmm. And that's not to say there's not people who need jobs, but there are people that, you know, 6 years ago, let's say, for instance, I'd get an application a week. You know, sometimes I get six or seven.
Right.
So I always had someone I could call and be like, hey, you still interested? You want to come in and train? All right, let's go. You know, come on in. There was a time earlier this summer, probably about 4 months went by. I didn't get a single application.
Really?
Now, I'm in the lucky position that I have a really good staff at most of my places. I'll say most so I can keep them all lingering if they listen to this.
Just in case, yeah.
Was that us?
Yeah. When you throw it out on social, it's
but
just
I got
in case.
You know, I got a lot of really good people who work for me, and I trust them, and I know they care about the business as much as I do, and that's great. But to not get an application for 4 months is like, man, I mean, there's just not really people who are looking. Now, whether to improve, they've found a good job, good for them, that's great. It is a good thing to have people who are employed. But at the same time, if you're going to open up a new business and you're going to take your hard-earned money or go borrow from the bank and decide that debt is the way you would like to go for the next few years, which is a scary venture, if you've decided that this is the path you want to take, I just feel like it's very important for people to know that it's hard. It's a desert out there for hiring qualified people, because most of those qualified people, they got a job at, you know, new steakhouse that opened up. Mm-hmm. They got a job as a server or a lead bartender or something along those lines. So, you know, right now the unemployment, it's almost a negative point where for me to hire somebody, almost it's like I got to steal them from somebody else. And that's not my game.
Yeah.
I'm not going out there to restaurants like, here's my business card. Call me if,
you know, call me if you need a job.
But
maybe,
that's what you start
of.
To see happen, right? I mean, that's kind of where this path leads. And, you know, so you talk about all the openings. Hey, man, I'm always for people who are following their passions and want to do something they love. Go for it. Those people are more likely to be successful than someone who's just doing to make a buck. But, you know, if you're not going in with the idea that, hey, you got to hire good people and quality people, and are they there?
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't done your research, then, you know, I'm kind of here to tell you that it's getting tougher. It really is. It's getting harder. And that's where you're seeing places close. You got someone who has all the passion, but you can only work a set amount of hours.
Yeah.
Right. Eventually it runs out. You can work every hour of the week, but eventually it runs out. And
you're going to die right there unless you have some really good talent to be able to support you. One of our viewers actually chimed in and asked William Davis. He asked, how many issues do you have with people actually showing up once you've actually offered them?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the Craigslist hire for you, right? I've hired probably 100 people off Craigslist in my time. And I have hired amazing people off Craigslist. I mean, just they've come in and they killed it. And I have hired a lot of people off Craigslist who just didn't show up. They came in, they interviewed, I'll take the job, here you go, sign this, get your number, see you tomorrow. No show, right? And, you know, it's not the end of the world. At least it wasn't like a conversation where, you know, there are four shifts in or whatever and I had to waste all that time training or whatever. So, yeah, man, it happens. And you just got to, with restaurants especially, because they didn't, more than likely, it wasn't like they're like, man, Sam's Place is the end-all, be-all for me. And, if you know, this is the only place I'm applying. Like, you know, they applied to 40 places.
Hey, man, it's beer cake, right?
Yeah, so, beer cake, and here I'm going to be. So, you know, they got a job closer to home. They got a job that offered them 25 cents more, dollar more, you know. And
There's a lot of those factors out
there.
But we're also understanding that there's a freelance realm now, this gig economy, as it applies to restaurateurs and you know, wait staff and bartenders. We would need to get you connected with SnapShift, obviously. That's a friend of the show, friend of the organization. They're kind of capitalizing in that space.
Absolutely. Yeah. I listened to your show on that, and we've talked to them. They're great. We've kind of worked on it. We're trying to introduce it. It's tough for us because we're very large in the company and we're trying to get something, but that's where I think that their specialty is going to lie for us is tying that together. But you're right. Yeah. That's kind of where people have to start leaning to is how we can help each other and utilize each other's, you know, talent and people who want to do that.
It's almost like staff, a SWAT team that you can pull in. That's
absolutely
very cool.
You know?
Well, it sounds like you have a really good team. Let me pivot around to, what's on the menu? Can you give us one thing that everyone should be ordering off of your restaurant's menu? One favorite item that you got.
Sure. If you went to Big Lug, I would say you have to get the Nashville chicken sandwich. I would go mild, Don't go hot if you're not into that thing. If you are, do it. but the Nashville chicken, I think, is like my go-to.
Yeah,
it's unique. Hey, there's a picture. Hey, that looks good.
Oh man, look at that.
Look at that HD quality. we take great pictures in Big Lug. we really know how to use our phones.
It totally looks like chicken somewhere.
But yeah, it's unique. we make our own bread. 24-hour brine chicken. That's really, really good. And then if you went to Somm's, man, Somm's is a jack of all trades. It really is all. We do take a lot of time with all of our dishes. But if you were to go there and you wanted something that was unique to what we were doing, man, I would get the meatloaf sandwich. Seriously, man, it's just like made fresh every morning. Just delicious. We caramelized the onions. We got Munster cheese on there, American cheese. This really good ketchup, brown sugar, barbecue sauce.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what I get every time.
And it's one of those sandwiches that you would just kind of look at and be like, I'd rather get. And it's like, no, man, just do it. Just try it. And like, you know, get whatever side you want. We have like almost 26 sides, 27 sides, something like that.
Jeez.
You know, get the side that you want. But, man, you know, those are the types of things that I think we do really well. You know, the bread's homemade. It was made fresh that morning. The sauces are made in house. So, yeah, I would say something like that.
You guys ever do a Manhattan style on that meatloaf?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic.
Yeah, do a little, load it up with some gravy and mashed potato. I'm all about gravy, man.
Check out the poutine.
I play the gravy game. Yeah.
What about, tell us a little bit about Somm's Ale House. So obviously that's opened up fairly recently. It's right next to Big Lug.
Yeah.
But what was the kind of the motivation behind that place and the atmosphere and the connectivity there?
Big Lug has a very unique vibe. It wasn't purposely built to not be for everybody. And that's not to say we were trying to exclude any certain group. You know, it was just like, look, man, this isn't going to be for everybody. And we know that. And that's okay. But for us to be truly ourselves, we want to build a place that we love and stand behind, and it's us. And you know, there's a balancing act to that. I mean, we had the opportunity to do something else, and we knew that, you know, people were looking for other beer, local beer, domestic, you know, options that we didn't carry. And food options that we didn't do. Big Lug is very eclectic and unique in what we do, and it's kind of like, hey, man, this is all we have. There isn't some BLT on the menu or anything.
You don't have to be everything to everybody.
Exactly. And so, but we had a lot of good people who worked for us, and we had this setup that we knew could work. And with a little tweaking, Somm's Ale House came about. So really good tap list, a nice American casual restaurant feel. We built a space for us to host groups because, man, we get calls every week about hosting parties and events at Big Lug, but we don't have any space. So we built a space that we could do that. We can barrel age some beer over there. It really just gave us, options, gave us the potential to grow and organically kind of introduce new things to what we're doing. So.
And you got a little walkout cooler if somebody walking along the Monon needs to take a little 4-pack or a 6-pack.
Yeah, we got to-go beer. Yeah, always fun stuff. Good like Central State stuff in there, and we got some Upland stuff. You know, we got a lot of fun rotating beers. Yeah, it's a good little option. Hams too. I drink hams. So.
Oh, the
good PBR doesn't hurt anybody.
No.
Right, the brass monkey in the paper bag.
Somm's Place serves.
At Somm's Place.
We serve orange juice and hams in a brown paper bag called the brass monkey for $2 every Saturday and Sunday.
Cool. So
he just like sped right past the hams in the orange juice.
Yeah.
Well, we certainly want to. We want all of our listeners and viewers to go check out Big Lug, so they can check you out at BigLugCanteen.com and watch you on the socials at Big Lug Canteen.
At your own risk. It's all me. It's all me.
And
it's not always great. So
yeah. It's kind of odd. I mean, you can rubberneck every once in a while.
It's a mixture of what I do. Yes, I keep people on their toes.
Check out Big Lug Canteen on Facebook. A final thought to business owners in Indianapolis and maybe some of what their responsibility really is for community relationships.
I just wish that everyone at their heart of hearts would get together with the local community, the people around you. I'm talking your next door neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if they're a boutique shop, if they're a hardware store, if they're a, you know, if it's SnapShift. I mean, right? It doesn't matter. Go talk to them. see what you guys are, what your goals are, mm-hmm. what you guys have in common, and then start from there. I mean, there's some amazing groups around town, you know, Big Car, and you look at what these people are doing, and it doesn't take that much work. It doesn't take that much money. It just takes people with common mindsets. You can't do it by yourself. I mean, sure. It's tough. So I would say if business owners and people who are trying to get into business would just take a second, slow down, figure out what everyone around them is trying to do, and then go make some fun stuff happen. It's going to help your bottom line numbers. It really is. If people see that there's a movement happening, some vibe happening, and you know, if there's just fun original stuff going on, it doesn't matter what it is. There's people around here who want it. There's people who are into it. You know, so you know, be yourself, and then figure out who around you has that same mindset, and go make something happen. That's what I would recommend. So.
Cool. Just do it.
Do it, man.
Be friends with your neighbors.
Yeah. Man.
Who'd have thunk?
Yeah.
It's like Mr. Rogers, I think, talked about this at some point. Yeah.
Okay, everybody, put your sweaters on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is the thing, is that the community wants to see those restaurants and those organizations not only give back, but just be friendly.
Yeah. When did training kindness become important? You know, it's like I have to train people to, like, hey, you got to be nice to people. And they're like,
fine, I guess. That seems okay.
Yeah, okay. All right. You know,
if you tell me to.
Not really feeling it today.
Yeah, man, just be nice. Whatever. It seems like such a ridiculous thing to have to say, but, you know, be nice. It's not that hard.
I dig it. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today. And we need to take a crew up to Big Lug and just have that chicken.
Yeah.
That stuff sounds fantastic.
I highly recommend it.
Absolutely.
At least once, maybe twice.
Maybe beer cake.
Maybe beer cake.
Down with a beer cake. All right. Hey, thank you so much for everybody here from a production standpoint, as well as all the guests today. Be sure to check out Damar Services and give. I mean, the point is, again, I failed to do it. Text to the number 444-999, the word Indy, and start your donation process. It's less than $1 a day to get those radio bracelets for children with autism. Make sure that you do it. We want to challenge our audience out there. And post inside this feed. Let us know that you did that. And we're going to certainly champion that. Great talking with Beer... beer cake. See, it's in my head right there. That's
don't worry,
it.
Eddie. I won't forget you.
Thank you,
Eddie. Thanks so much for joining us, and certainly go choose local and jump into Big Lug Canteen wherever you are. Thanks so much for joining Edge of Indy, and check us out next week as we'll be back with a number of guests that are very local based, and we certainly want to make sure that you pay attention to what's happening in Indianapolis. For us at Site Strategics, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.